Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages, and our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and Nepali are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Last week on Hope for Today, we began studying Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 to 39. Our study was titled, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. As I noted then, our text reveals several steps that, if we follow them, they will lead us from fear to faith to freedom. The first step we looked at was confrontation. I said that in almost every situation that arouses fear in us, it begins with some kind of confrontation. In the case of Jesus' disciples, it was confrontation with a demon-possessed man. In the case of the demons inhabiting the man, they were fearful when they were confronted by Jesus. Today, we'll pick up our study of this text and look at an additional step in this journey from fear to faith to freedom. So as we begin, let me read our text, Luke chapter 8 and verses 26. 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. And when he stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city, who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For it had often seized him, and he was kept under guard, bound with chains and shackles, and he broke the bonds and was driven by the demon into the wilderness. Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many demons had entered him. And they begged him that he would not command them to go out into the abyss. Now a herd of many swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they begged him that he would permit them to enter them. And he permitted them. Then the demons went out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the lake and drowned. When those who fed them saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what had happened, and came to Jesus, and found the man from whom the demons had departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also who had seen it told them by what means he who had been demon-possessed was healed. Then the whole multitude of the surrounding region of the Gadarenes asked Jesus to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. And he got into the boat and returned. Now the man from whom the demons had departed begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your own house and tell what great things God has done for you." And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. Verse 31 assures us that the demons understood the power of the one who was confronting them. So they begged Jesus not to send them prematurely into the abyss, to the place of torment. Instead, they begged him to allow them to enter into the herd of pigs that was feeding nearby. Matthew is the only one who records that Jesus spoke, and he records Jesus saying just one word, "Go." Now, some have struggled with this scene and ask this question: why would Jesus give permission to the demons? I have to tell you, I don't know that I have a satisfactory answer for that question. Mark and Luke simply record that Jesus permitted the demons to do what they requested. He did not hinder it, nor did he give positive permission to them. At any rate, we understand that the demons are subject to Christ. And there's another aspect of this request we will look at later when we see how the people of the area responded to Jesus. So immediately, the demons entered into the herd of pigs. The pigs went berserk, and they ran down a steep slope into the lake, and they were all drowned. That event produced even more fear in the lives of those who had been taking care of the pigs. Now, as we think about fear and its place in our human experience, we acknowledge that fear is normal in some circumstances. Fear can keep us from acting foolishly or from needlessly risking our lives. It can motivate us to take precautions that benefit us and those we love. For example, fear of injury or death keeps me from standing on the railing overlooking a deep ravine or a sheer drop-off. Fear of failure can motivate me to greater carefulness in caring for those under my authority. But you know, fear can be harmful too. It can cause us to become irrational, to lose our ability to think clearly. Fear can paralyze us and keep us from doing what we know we should do. Fear of loss can cause me to place too high of a priority on material things. Fear of failure can affect me so much that I refuse to try new things or learn new skills. And fear of man can keep me from sharing the love of Christ with them. Whether or not you and I progress from fear to faith to freedom depends largely on our response to the fears that confront us. And that leads us to our next step. That next step is consternation. The dictionary defines consternation as amazement or dismay that hinders or throws one into confusion. It's the result of responding improperly to fear. As we'll see in the text, the responses of the different characters in this story determine their progression on the path from fear to faith to freedom. Obviously, there's consternation among the demonic spirits when Jesus comes on the scene. We see that very clearly in the text. The demons somehow knew that because Jesus showed up, they were no longer going to inhabit this man. So they asked Jesus to allow them to enter the pigs. Their main goal seems to have been that they would not need to leave the country or area of their jurisdiction. Now, the movement of the demons from the demoniac or the demon-possessed man to the pigs is something we can't explain, but we can explain the reaction. The whole herd of pigs was thrown into confusion and rushed headlong down the steep slope and into the waters. When I still lived at home with my parents, my dad and my brother raised pigs for a while, and I know how easily frightened they are and how blindly they will follow the other pigs in the herd. So their behavior here in this text doesn't surprise me at all. Those who were herding the pigs ran away in fear after the whole herd went rushing to their death in the sea. And where did they run? They ran back to their homes, and they told everybody they met what happened. The text says they told it in the city and in the country. Now, as you can imagine, that news spread quickly across the whole region. There was amazement at such a sensational report, and there was dismay at the economic loss that was involved. There was a lot of confusion over what had really happened. So what did the people do? Well, what would you have done? According to verse 35, they went out to see if what they had been told was true. And what did they find? They must have seen the place where the pigs were feeding, and they listened again to the testimony of those who witnessed the entire scene. Yes, the whole herd of pigs, perhaps hundreds, was gone. It was shocking. But then there was something even more shocking to them. They found Jesus and the man out of whom the demons had departed. He was sitting at Jesus' feet. And they learned from the eyewitnesses that it was Jesus who had made this man whole. The one they knew as the wild man of the tombs, the one no one could control, was now fully clothed and in his right mind. He was completely under control. He was no longer insane, as they would have described him earlier. And notice the last phrase in verse 35. And they were afraid. They were afraid because they were facing something which they couldn't explain. They were thoroughly confused. You and I can identify with that, can't we? Things we don't understand can lead to fear and consternation. But what we do with that fear and consternation determines whether we make the journey from fear to freedom. The formerly demon-possessed man made the journey. The crowds from Decapolis, that was the region where this took place, they didn't make that journey. Look at what they said and did. Verse 37 says the whole multitude begged Jesus to leave the area. Here they were looking at this man, who formerly lived a life not far above animal existence. He was a person whose life was totally out of control. Now they see him sitting at the feet of Jesus, completely normal, like one of them. They have been told how this miraculous change was effected by Jesus. And they ask him to leave? If you had been there, wouldn't you have rejoiced in this man's deliverance? Wouldn't you have wanted Jesus to stay and deliver more people? Why did the people beg Jesus to leave? Well, here it is again. It was fear, and not just any kind of fear. Luke writes that they were seized by great fear. I don't know, but perhaps they feared further economic loss if Jesus stayed. Perhaps they understood that if Jesus could understand and control demons, then nothing in their lives was hidden from him. For these and other reasons, they allowed fear to control them. And you know, if fear is allowed to be in control, it leads to irrational decisions that bring about harmful results. That was true for these people, and it's true for you and me. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. I'd be happy to send one to you. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this program, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, and Mandarin Chinese are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study, Fear, Faith, and Freedom. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.